Good morning. Oh, doubting Thomas, right? But how many of us can relate to that? How many of us have doubts? And I know I did many years ago. I wanted to believe, but it seemed to be such an incredible story. And I remember one day I was praying and I was tired. So tired of always doubting, second guessing. You know, I was tired of one day feeling so close to God, and then the next day, does he really exist? Can this be? And I remember when I was in college and I was talking to my brother, my older brother, who was in the seminary at the time, and I said to him, I cannot find God. And he said, don't worry, he will find you. And those were very wise words. And if you know my older brother, please don't tell him I said that. But they were. And when I look back on this in this time in my life, I realized what was truly blocking me from fully embracing my faith was sin. I had not gone to confession probably since I was in second grade. But shortly after college, I moved home, and out of respect to my parents, I went to Mass every Sunday with them. And there I met a group of young adults. They were very involved in youth ministry at the time, and I started working with them. And then I went on a retreat. It was called Search. And on that retreat, it was for young adults. And on that retreat, I felt this conflict within me, this struggle, but I didn't know even what it was. But they offered confession. So I went, and I sat in front of that priest and was like, it has been a really long time. I don't even know where to start. And he was great. He just led me through it. And in God's credible mercy, the walls came down. The struggle I was feeling went away. And then this heavy burden I didn't even realize I had was lifted from my shoulder. And it was life-changing. When he said these words, I absolve you from your sins. You have a clean slate. Start again. And this became part of my own personal conversion story. His divine mercy. So today we celebrate the feast of divine mercy. And this was instituted by St. John Paul II in the year 2000, so not even that long ago. He finished what St. Faustina started. So what is divine mercy? The word divine we can understand as being from God or being part of God. But what is mercy? One of my diaconate brothers from my class did his capstone on divine mercy. And I'm going to steal a few things from his paper, with his permission, of course, Deacon Phil McNulty. He had found several definitions for mercy from the Catechism, from the saints, from the popes. And he summarized that mercy is simply the unmerited love, so nothing that we earned, unmerited love that encompasses forgiveness, compassion, and empathy. Mercy is what God requests of us. For it is mercy that I desire, not sacrifice, and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And Jesus tells the Pharisees, go and learn the meaning of the words, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. And mercy is also a blessing. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So divine mercy is not a new message. So Sister Faustina and St. John Paul II did not create a new gospel. but rather they were emphasizing the message of divine mercy that was already in the scriptures. And you will read this message throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. So just a little bit about Saint Faustina. And I encourage you to take the time to read her diaries. The book was just published recently, well, it's recently to me in my age. It was in 1987 in English. She came from very humbling beginnings. She was the third of 10 children born to a poor but devout family in rural Poland in 1905. She grew up in the war zone of the eastern border, and this is during World War I. And because of that, she only had 3 years of education. And at the age of 14, after the war ended, she had to quit school and work in order to help support her parents and siblings. She wanted to enter the convent, but her parents would not give their permission. Then in 1924, Saint Faustina experienced her first of many visions of Jesus, where he asked her to leave her family, move to Warsaw, and join a convent, which she did. It was an incredible challenge because even the convents didn't want her. She was uneducated and very poor. But then Saint Faustina had her most famous vision of Jesus in 1931. And in it, and in subsequent visions, Jesus appeared to her wearing a white garment with red and pale rays coming from his heart. And that's the picture, the image you have over there. And Jesus told her, paint an image according to the pattern you see with this signature. Jesus, I trust in you. I desire that this image be venerated, first in your chapel, and then throughout the world. And Jesus also told her of his desire for a feast of divine mercy. The church would celebrate this all over the world. He also taught her a special form of prayer called the Divine Mercy Chaplet to be used to plead for the outpouring of God's merciful love upon the world. And of course she thought, how? How could I get this message out to the entire world? So when she told her superiors about the revelations, of course she was met with ridicule and much doubt. There's a quote that says, you want us to believe that our Lord is talking to a bundle of imperfections like you? No one really believed her until she met Father Michael Sopoko, which I don't say it right, but I try, Father. He was the appointed confessors to the nuns. Even then, Father had her evaluated by a psychiatrist when she first described her visions. The church always does their due diligence. Father was a brilliant priest, and he had a PhD in theology and taught theology at the university. And he was very familiar with the great mystics of the church. And he noted that the contrast in her diary between her education and her deep theology had to be influenced by divine grace. He also recognized that the message did not present a new theology, but rather a renewed emphasis on God's mercy. So he began to petition the Vatican to promote the message of divine mercy, and he arranged for the image to be painted by a local painter. And the word of this grew among the people. Sister Maria Faustina died of tuberculosis at the age of 33 in October 5th, 1938. St. John Paul II called her the great apostle of divine mercy in our time. He canonized Sister Faustina in 2000, making her the first saint of the new millennium. And Pope John Paul II is also considered a great apostle of divine mercy. He traveled extensively and promoted God's mercy in real ways. I don't know if you remember this or not, but he publicly forgave the man who tried to kill him when he was shot in 1981. And this man was pardoned by the Italian president at the Pope's request. And he was deported to Turkey in June of 2000. And he converted to Roman Catholicism in 2007. That's an incredible story of an act of mercy, which leads to great fruits. So for us to experience this divine mercy, we too must be merciful. And that, as we all know, can be very difficult. It's much easier to be angry at someone who's hurt you. It's easier to quickly judge people based on things they do that you think are wrong. Or we simply just ignore or even care about the things in the world that do not affect us directly, or we don't think they do. So Pope Francis remarked, "We are a society which has forgotten how to weep, how to experience compassion, how to suffer with others. The globalization of indifference has taken from us the ability to weep. Let us ask the Lord for the grace to weep over our indifference, to weep over the cruelty of our world, of our own hearts, and for all those who make social and economic decisions which open the door to tragic situations. Today, has anyone wept for our world?" We get to experience this, his incredible mercy, every time we go to confession. And if it has been a while for you, I really want to encourage you. Make it your goal. Make it a priority. And especially if you are tired of doubting like Thomas, have a personal experience of his divine mercy.